Hi everyone, welcome to the APGLD podcast with me, Claire.
And me, Giovanna.
We're taking a slightly different structure for these podcast episodes going forward. So we're both going to do a little bit of preamble about our guest and why we've chosen them before we head on into the interview. So for this episode, we had the absolute privilege of speaking with Italian writer and theatre director Marco Martinelli, who was Giovanna's find, actually. So what made you first get in touch with Marco and think he'd be a great candidate for the podcast?
Well, that's a really juicy story, actually, because his book, which we will mention repeatedly during this podcast, Aristophanes Scampia, Aristophanes in Scampia. Scampia is a suburb in the north of Naples. And it's one of the theatre projects that Marco's been involved in repeatedly throughout the years since he started doing theatre in 1977. But the nice story about this book is that it's been in my house, my parents' house actually, for a very long time, even before it had been in my house, even before I actually met Marco. And my mum was going around the house when she knew that I was very interested in Aristophanes, was very interested in theatre, and she repeatedly suggested that I read that book. But of course, because it was my mum, I never did. So the funny story goes that a few years later, my a colleague of mine who I was organising a conference on memory and performance in the early modern period, and was around festivals and scripts that had been kind of unearthed and all written for festivals in the early modern period. Francesca Bortoletti suggested that we work with Marco Martinelli. And so the first meeting that we had, we knew that we wanted to pick something that had to do with something that he'd already worked on. And Aristophanes was obviously his riding horse, as we would say in Italian. I don't know if
it's hobby horse, okay.
So that's when I met him and we started. So that was the first project that we did, was in 2022, and 2023 the first step of this project took place in Parma, and then the second step in London. It was with the participants were from two state schools in Parma and three state schools in London, and it was with university students from the University of Parma and from the University from University College London when we did it in London, and it was incredibly fun. And the second time that I worked with him was in 2023 October, so just now, and it was again in Parma and was on Acarnians.
Yeah, so the two of them already had a really good working relationship, which I think will come across in the interview. It was an absolute delight to be able to find out a little bit more, not only about the project that Giovanna's just mentioned, but also about Marco's extremely rich history as a director and writer going back decades, including publishing the books that Giovanna's already mentioned. He's also published in French. You may have heard of Aristophane dans les banlieues, as the title suggests, again operating on what happens when theatre's taken out of the city, away from the elite, if we can say that. I'm also separately very envious of the highbrow tomes on your childhood bookshelves growing up. I think it would have been I would have loved to have had some theory on Aristophanes knocking around my bookshelves as a child. So yes, we managed to get a call scheduled with Marco. We asked him a few questions about how he initially got into theatre. He spoke a lot about the magic, kind of the fire that he thought it ignited in him, and that he hopes it might ignite in other people. It really struck me when he spoke about almost a cauldron. I can't remember the Italian word he used, but it's sort of witch's pot. Yeah. So a kind of pot in which you put all the ingredients and they become greater than the sum of its parts. perhaps a familiar image to those of you who've worked in similar areas. So the first part of the interview is talking about kind of his own methodology, particularly this idea of the non-school. As someone who'd not heard of his work until, Giovanna, you mentioned it to me back in October, I was particularly interested in his methodology in introducing school students to theatre through his non-school. What's the Italian term that he uses?
Non-scuola.
For... Okay, fine. So yeah, very much as it sounds and perhaps immediately appealing to an audience of school children. So we talk a little bit about that. And then, yeah, we dig into his relationship with Aristophanes specifically, which is perhaps initially an unexpected figure, and why the Plutus in particular was used not only for your project between UCL and Palmer, but a lot of his work going forward. It's perhaps not too great an imaginative leap to think about why questions about distribution of wealth feel particularly apposite at the moment.
Yeah, and he's again in Naples at the moment. So the podcast we recorded was with him in Ravenna, but he's engaged in a workshop in Pompeii at the moment, in the wonderful archaeological site, working with students and other willing participants.
We'll hand over to the interview now. We hope you enjoy it. If anyone would like to find out a bit more about Marco's work, we recommend you visit the website
teatrodellealbe.com.
Just a word of warning, the first page is an extremely artistic picture of a donkey's head. Please click on that and it will take you through to a wealth of information.
And there's an English version of the website, so don't fret. If you don't know Italian, that's absolutely fine.
/ENG. Let's move on to our interview with Marco, and we hope you enjoy it.
All right, so welcome, Marco, and thank you very much for being with us today, for accepting our invitation. So can we start with a very general question, which I know is very long to answer, but hopefully you'll find a way to make it brief, as I know you will, which is about your life, basically, your life and theatre. How did you get here? If you could talk us through your initial interest in theatre, why did you start doing it in the first place, and the beginnings of the theatre company, Teatro delle Albe, that you created with Ermanna.
Thank you Giovanna, and thank you Claire. It's a long story, you know, a long story, 45 years more or less, when I felt in love, I can say, I felt in love with Ermanna. We were 20 years old, so we are two guys, and we marry, and we began to do theater together. So theater and life for us was and is today the same adventure. And after 2-3 years after the marriage, we choose some companions.
Some companions, yeah.
Yes. And with them, we build Teatro delle Albe. So this is the beginning of, like in a storytelling, no? Like, because è così che è avvenuto.
Because this is how it happened. But I also know a part of the story which you wrote in your books, which speaks about how it was something that wasn't particularly accepted, not least by your family, for example. So it was something that you had to kind of fight for.
Sure. It was hard because our families are not agree with us. This choice of theater is a fool for them. We were in the first year of university, you know. So it's not, non è un consiglio per I giovani questo.
So this is not some piece of advice that he's trying to give to young students.
Yes, absolutely. But at the same time, when you have a fire in the heart and in the mind, so it's impossible to, è impossibile spegnerlo, quel fuoco.
Yeah, it's impossible to turn it down. So the fire keeps burning until you give it. Yeah,
Yes, and so step by step, fighting every day with the poverty, with con gli ostacoli, le difficoltà, no?
Yeah, many obstacles, many difficulties, not least because they were not living. I think, did you have a house? Yeah, you had a house, right? You had a home.
Sure, only, yes, because the grandfather of Ermanna was un sant'uomo, a little and great man, and he said, no, but they are poor, they are without nothing. There is a little apartment for them. And is this apartment in which we are today, but you can imagine that 40 years ago, there is nothing here. There was nothing, only the walls. Non c'era niente nell'appartamento, era vuoto completamente.
It was absolutely empty.
Guarda, dormivamo per terra con il materasso.
They were sleeping on the floor with a mattress.
Almeno avevamo, no, il tetto sulla testa.
But you had a roof. Yeah, you had a roof
over your head.
That was the important bit. Yeah, absolutely. And would you say, and then I'll hand over to Claire, but just you finished this very, I think, exciting, fascinating story that I think also in a way informs the way that you do theatre. Would you say that this in a way dictated how you have approached theatre in over the years?
So we have an idea in the beginning, only one idea, but very strong. Our theater must be our theater, not only to follow this director or this company, but our theater can, from our experience.
It needs to come out of your own experience, yeah.
Reading all, you know, reading, going to see every performance, you know, but in the same time, trovare la propria via autentica.
To find our own authentic voice.
Sure. E come due autodidatti. Eravamo due autodidatti.
Like two self-taught theatre makers.
Sure.
Claire, I know you're burning with the same fire to ask questions.
Yeah, this is fabulous. It's wonderful to know that you're in the apartment where it all began as well. That adds a real something. Well, I think that actually your last point links really well into our next question, which is, you know, this has to be our theatre. This has to be our voice. I know that you find the role of community in theatre to be incredibly important and that you often engage with companies of non-professional actors. You'll kind of work with a community to produce a production. So, yeah, if you could maybe tell us a little bit about how you do that, like what your process is, what you find to be really useful from that kind of work and where the challenges are maybe.
In our way to understand theatre, step by step, year after year, we had the dream of the beginning of theatre in Western culture. Cioè, the dream of Athens. Che cos'era? What is Athens? What is the Athens of Aeschylus, Aristophanes, Sophocles, and so on? Not the theater for a little group of people, but the theater for all the city, all the community. You know, there was not in this time the wall between the actors and the spectators. We see this wall in our experience of theater today. In the beginning of theater, there were not spectators, but citizens. Citizens, they went to see theater, but they went to do theater because the chorus, the secret of the chorus is for me and Ermanna, our group, is the base of theater. The chorus is the mirror of the community, a mirror in which the citizens can be actors. They become actors with the chorus. And this link, for me, is the life of our art. And, you know, challenge, difficulties, but a great enthusiasm to work after 40 years of theater, to continue to work with people from the children of 8 years old to the ladies of 80 years old, because they are treasure of experience, treasure of life, and a different point of view about life. For our work is absolutely is a cibo, non so come è nutrimento, come si dice?
Yeah, it's all food for thought. It's all kind of building up our company.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that participatory element of Greek theatre, I think, often gets sort of overlooked in the popular imagination, and is so important that, yeah, you know, you've got people sitting in the audience who will in previous years have been there in the chorus and vice versa. Actually, I think that links quite nicely to the next question, Giovanna, about kind of how you bring these people together.
Yeah. So that's one of the questions that when Claire and I were thinking about what to ask you. It was one of the interesting, also from an organizational point of view, interesting point. How do you recruit participants? What happens when? And I know you have your, you know, you and Hermana have your own methods to recruit participants, which I think is very interesting and unique.
We have the method of public call, but free public call, absolutely free. So we don't make selections. Every citizen, the door is always open, the door of theater. And you know, a great director, French director in the past, Jean Renoir, he said, in the set, no, when you make the movie, the door must be always open because reality can enter. This is the Bible for me. This phrase is the Bible. So, and after, you must have the quality, the meaning, the intelligence, the heart, to work in different ways with different people, because it's very different to work with an adolescent guy, no, or an old man. But in the same time, tutto questo, all this goes in the same, come si può dire, un calderone magico.
The same pot, yeah, in the same magic pot.
Like a cauldron.
Yes.
Like a witch's cauldron. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's a magic question, yes.
But how do you reach all the citizens? Do you send invitations, written invitations?
You know, now for us it's easy because our 25 years we work in this way. In Ravenna, all the people know our theater, no? And they are waiting in this moment for us. So they are waiting, which is the next adventure, no? After Dante Alighieri, now we are working about Don Quixote, the Cervantes. But in other cities, you know, we worked in Matera, an important town of the south of Italy. And in the first days, nobody knows us and our theater. We begin with a public call in the newspapers, in the social net, Facebook, and so on. No, but the important is when you meet the person in the theater. And from this moment, if the first day you have 20, 30 person, next week you will have 50, 60, because è un contagio, è una peste.
It's very contagious.
Contagious, yeah.
Le persone, people understand that, oh, ma, I can use my body. I can use this, la mia carne, my flesh, my eyes, my And this is wonderful in an age of computers, not only of iPhone and so on. Theater is ancora, il teatro è veramente un mezzo rivoluzionario.
Yeah.
Perché mette tutto il corpo davanti.
Yeah, so theater still is a revolutionary method because it really puts the body at the forefront of everything that you're doing.
Because we need our body. And we need to touch the body of the others. We are, siamo figli della terra, no? Come si può dire, Giovanni?
We are generated from the earth. Yeah, we're generated from the earth. So we need that connection with, that kind of earthly connection with each other. Yeah. Yeah, so Claire, I think that also leads up very nicely to the next one.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, yeah, that's a huge thing to be awakening potentially in an individual, that sense of connection with their body, that sense of, you know, I might not be a classically trained actor, but I have this voice and I have this presence and I can, you know, I can be part of something intensely generative, which is, yeah, hugely powerful. And I know in my own experience, when I'm very much not an actor, but when I have been involved in similar projects, yeah, it's felt incredibly powerful. And yeah, it's sort of awakened areas of myself I wasn't aware of. So in these communities where you work, so you've, you know, the rehearsals have been done, the play has been put on, that element of the project at least is over. But what kind of lasting impact do you think is left in those towns or among communities or even within an individual? Like what do you hope to, as it were, leave behind when the play has finished?
We worked in this way 25 years. Mm-hmm. So every year, a lot of young people came in our theater to do theater with us. And so creates a community in the years, in a little town, because Ravenna is
133,000 people, so it's not very
close-knit.
But at the same time, ancient Athens, the same, 130,000 abitanti.
So Athens the same, same number.
So if you have 1,000, 2,000 persone, no? Che fanno teatro tutti gli anni, vuol dire che c'è davvero un impatto forte sulla città. Cioè si crea una comunità nella bellezza. Scusa, Giovanni.
I'm very happy to convey that across. So if you have, he's saying if you have 1,000 or 1,500 people contributing to theatre, doing theatre every year, that has a long-lasting effect on the city itself, because they've been doing it for 25 years. And so that's the kind of, that's the most visible long-lasting effect that their company, the way of working with the citizens has had on the citizens and on the city.
Yeah, it's kind of integrated into life in Ravenna. It's, you know, people know who you are, people know what it feels like. Yeah.
And without walls between Italian and strangers. So at the same level, we like very much to work with the different languages of people, because the different languages are, like in the music, a great symphony, no? African languages and the language of the north of Europe. And it's fun that, you know, today we work with young people, and next month arrive the father, the mother, to work with us. Because our son said that theater is a good thing. We can try. Okay.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Wonderful. Yes, yeah. Because it's the family. You know, in this period, family are always or often separated, no? Mm-hmm. Each, every one of family. Theater is a strange way to keep a unit, the family.
Yeah, and the family grows. But I know that some of the performances, actually most of the performances that you create, that you and Hermana and people involved in the theatre company create, are thought or conceived to tour around the city. So they are also, they're very much part of the city itself. So the geography of the city. So you also think of it as a journey through the city and through the different places within the city itself.
It's the right question, because some productions are not in theater, but in the street, in the place of theater. So is visible not only for the spectators, no, who paid the ticket, but for the citizens that in the way, in the streets, they have like a vision. And this is very important, non limitarsi al palcoscenico.
Yeah, so it's important not to limit ourselves and our work to the spectators only, the theatre spectators only, but that that door needs to be opened up to new venues, new places, not just the theatre.
Anche perché se ci chiudiamo in noi stessi, nel teatro, così è la morte. Yeah. Noi viviamo solo se siamo davvero sempre aperti all'incontro con l'altro, che è anche l'incontro con un altro spazio, no? Con un'altra geografia.
Yeah, because otherwise we die inside. So the encounter needs to be with other spaces as well as other people. It's not just about meeting new people, it's also about meeting and welcoming new spaces. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that is also, again, a nice link to the next question, which is about the non-school methodology. Yes. And it's about your pedagogical approach to theatre with young people, particularly young people. I guess the main question here is, why have you called it non-school? Is it because you see issues with the traditional classroom teaching approach? And how do you think theatre proposes an alternative approach that is better than the classroom?
I founded the non-school on the link between the guys, no, the adolescents, and adolescents that often they don't like theatre, absolutely. They like football, they like rock music, punk music, but not theatre. Theatre, ah, devil for us. These kind of guys and the great masterpiece of our past, of our, and is a curious link, but is possible if you, I don't know in English if it's possible to say, because we have a phrase, not messa in scena, but messa in vita.
Not mise en scène, but mise en life.
Yes. Allora, not put on stage, but put on life. I can say so, Giovanna.
Possibly. Yeah, I mean, I think...
Yeah,
that
makes sense.
Yeah, they use the French, so the English use the French way of doing it, of saying it. So mise en scène, so mise en life, if you want to do a mix of French and English.
Arriva, okay. So the method is, I have a text of Aristophane, no? You know, I have this text, so... Io parto da quello.
That's where I start from, yeah. That's where you start from.
I search the point of the secret of the text. And with this secret, I begin to work with the guys, with a method of improvisation. You know, Pluto, no? We worked about Pluto. Pluto is based... sull'ingiustizia della distribuzione della ricchezza.
Yeah, on the unfairness of the distribution of wealth.
The first question to the adolescent is, and now, com'è questo mondo? How is this world? They begin to speak, they begin cominciano a confrontarsi, cominciano a parlare di questo.
That's when they start sort of comparing their own experience with the main theme of the play. So they start...
Cioè, il testo antico all'inizio è solo una miccia per accendere il fuoco del vivente di oggi per questi ragazzi.
It's only the beginning of the fire that will then burn throughout the performance itself.
Faccio un altro esempio, che il vostro grande Shakespeare, il Midsummer Night's Dream, no? Che cosa dice a un adolescente? Che io di giorno posso amare una ragazza, ma di notte posso amarne un'altra nel sogno. Allora.
So Shakespeare says that, you know, during the day I can love one girl, but during the night I can love another.
Ok, allora che cos'è la nostra anima? Che cos'è il nostro amore? Che cos'è il nostro Eros? E lì, a partire da questo, i ragazzi cominciano a parlare, a inventare, a creare anche dei giochi di improvvisazione.
So that's when the youngsters they start comparing themselves with the theme of Shakespeare's play and start thinking about what is Eros, what is love, and that's the beginning.
E quando però si è creato, quindi dopo un certo numero di incontri, si è creata la vita insieme, a partire dalle loro esperienze, dai loro sogni.
So after a series of workshops where we've created the life that will be the basis of the performance,
È lì che comincia a ritornare invece il testo.
that's when the text, when the actual text will come back to
So it starts with kind of feelings and personal responses, and then the text comes in. Okay, that makes sense.
you know, you understand that one page is very useful. Some lines of by Shakespeare are wonderful to say the feelings of the guys. And the other pages, no, these are not
Yeah,
you.
yeah,
Okay, but you can, tu puoi
yeah. Yeah,
navigare
you can
in, you
navigate
can, puoi
yourself through
nuotare,
the text,
you
yeah.
can swim
Find
in
the relevance.
Shakespeare pool because you have, in your mind, you have all the world created from the guys. So, in the hand, the performance is at the same time. Of the guys and by Shakespeare and by the guys, and you too, because you are the medium between the two, i due poli, non so come si dice.
It's a co-authorship between Shakespeare and the participants, the workshop participants, and Marco sort of being the mediator between the two.
Fantastic. Well, you were talking about the Aristophanes Plutus, and I
Yes.
know that there's another instance we were keen to talk about of working with that text, or perhaps more accurately, working with the topic and then navigating appropriate elements of the text. So the Palmer UCL project earlier in the year. So this is one for both of you actually, because obviously Giovanna, you, Marco, and Francesca first conceived of this project. So maybe you could speak a little bit about how that came about, why Plutus, and what the project entailed.
So I can talk very briefly about why Plutus,
You were
and
on the stage with us, Giovanna, so
I was in
was a
London.
fire lit within you.
I was there with my body and my voice, for sure. I was part of the chorus. So why Plutus? Because it was part of a conference that Francesca Bortoletti, who's a colleague who works in the theatre department in Parma, and I were organizing, which was on memory and performance, classical reception in early modern festivals. And we wanted to work on festivals and on texts that had to do with or were adapting ancient material and were also used in festivals in roughly 16th and 17th century Europe. And so we picked Aristophanes' Plutus because we realized it was actually one of the texts that was most kind of very widely adapted and performed. And in a few instances, it was part of a festival. So the first text that we worked on was Euphrosyne Bonini's 1513 Commedia di Justitia. And then we worked on Thomas Randolph's 1651 Hey for Honesty, Down with Knavery. And then an anonymous translation of the play, The World's Idol, Plutus, a comedy which was published in 1659, probably by an Irish playwright, Burnell, but we don't really know. So that was the beginning of it. But then, of course, Marco then came to play with us, and so he changed the rules of the game. And those were the texts that we started from. And the idea was that I would provide a series of questions that I wanted to investigate on these texts and on these translations, which I did. And then with Marco, with the participants from UCL, participants from London, participants from state schools in London and Parma, we then built the script together.
It was wonderful to work with Giovanna and Francesca. Really, is because they are not only teachers, but enthusiastic people. So a great happiness to work together. Thank you, Giovanna, really. Thank you again.
No, thank you. I mean, it was incredible to see what you were saying about the text coming long after the first encounter that they have with the themes of the play. And then that is the beginning of the actual performance, not the other way around. So the text very much comes after and is one of the layers.
And it is very important, the text. But at the same time, we have to find every time the right moment in which the text arrive. No? Perché sennò può essere una qualcosa che spegne la creatività anziché accenderla. Quindi viva Aristofane, viva i grandi classici, e nello stesso tempo loro stessi ci chiedono di farli parlare ai viventi, no? Di non tenerli rinchiusi nei musei, ma di farli parlare all'oggi, ai vivi. Questo ci chiedono i morti, paradossalmente.
Yeah, because that's what he's saying, is that that's probably what they would want. So, you know, these big authors like Aristophanes, Sophocles, Aeschylus, that's what they want to speak to us. They don't want to be dead. Mm. They want to come back to life. And so they would want us to start from the link between the theme, between what they're talking about and what we think, what we experience as human beings. But so one last question about the Plutus is perhaps something that Claire and I were thinking about when thinking about the questions, which is, it's a very different way of working with students and participants, the one that you did you had in Parma and London. So it was it was very different in terms of time. So it was 2 weeks rather than a very long period of time. And it was different in terms of, you know, it wasn't a long-term project. I mean, it was, in the end, it ended up being a long-term project, but it wasn't to begin with. And it was with different participants. So, yeah, so if you could talk a bit about how that informed the way that you worked with us and how that changed the participants and changed you, maybe?
Sure, sure. So if you have more time, you can go in deep. Puoi andare in profondo, sure. And at the same time, the beauty is strange, the beauty of humanity and art. So it's like the meeting of people. You know, if we stay together for years, our friendship grows. But at the same time, the first drum, il primo squillo di tromba di un incontro, il primo anche proprio affetto che può nascere, può essere bellissimo. Quindi no, non c'è una reale differenza. Ci sono modalità diverse di approcciarsi però alla stessa umanità che chiede fuoco, che chiede bellezza, che chiede gioia di vivere, no? Sempre in un orizzonte così grigio, così triste,
so
della quotidianità.
So yeah, so there are different approaches, different modalities of coming to know that same humanity, which is asking the same thing, is asking to, you know, to be joyful about life, and is asking to participate in this joyful life. And so there's no real difference between the two. So even the, you know, the rush of an initial friendship, it can be kind of long lasting and can be productive and powerful, just in the same way as a 6 month project, you know, as working with people for 6 months. So it doesn't, so obviously, you know, if I've been your friend for 20 years, that's different than, you know, if I have for two, but it gives different feelings and different things. Yeah.
Well, I guess this is a question partly about the Plutus, but also more broadly. Well, I was initially going to ask if you were going to be doing something similar again, but then at the very beginning of the conversation, you said that you've since continued working on Plutus because of that extreme relevance to contemporary questions around wealth being distributed differently or kind of incorrectly, or, you know, the kind of, there's a universal appeal there. But in terms of findings from the UCL Palmer project, is there anything that you think you'd like to, did you take anything specific from that you'd like to keep working on? Is there going to be, this is maybe a question for Giovanna as well, is there going to be another iteration of this sort of work? Yeah, where do you see what you've generated, the magic fire that you've kindled, where do you see that going?
Now I'm working in Pompeii, you know, the Italian ancient town.
Mm.
In proprio nel parco, in the archaeological park, with
amazing.
100 of guys of Naples, of the towns around around Pompeii, and I am working about Plutus, and I'm using some ideas that we create together. Per cui, Giovanna, hai un po' di diritti d'autore su questo Pluto che sto facendo adesso.
He's saying that I have some rights that I can claim on this.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's community theatre, but also copyright.
But also, please.
And at the same time, now I have 6 months of to work.
Mm.
This is a difference, you know. And I have not, quanti eravamo a Parma e Londra? 30, 40?
Yeah, 20, 25, yeah.
E qui siamo 80.
So there are 80, he's working with 80 people now.
E tra l'altro 80 di situazioni anche molto delicate, molto difficili, di periferia.
Yeah, so 80 people coming from very difficult backgrounds.
Ma questo più che una difficoltà, bisogna trasformarla in un'opportunità.
So this, rather than being an obstacle or being a difficulty, you know, every time you need to transform it into an opportunity, into an advantage rather than a disadvantage.
Anche perché con questi ragazzi il discorso della ricchezza, dell'ingiustizia, della distribuzione della ricchezza nel mondo, è chiaro che viene fuori in maniera molto potente, a partire da esperienze di vita veramente difficili, ecco.
Because with this group of people, it is the theme of wealth and it being distributed unfairly is emerges quite strongly. So mm-hmm. It's very nice on the one hand because it resonates with them particularly, but also at the same time it's you know, it's something that you need to kind of tiptoe around.
Yeah.
And there is a risk in this work with guys of difficult situation of life, but at the same time no fear, always no fear. But theater is il contrario della paura, is the contrary of fear,
the opposite of fear.
It's
yeah,
to go andare incontro alla vita,
meet with fear and life.
Well, that's extremely powerful sentiment. I like that a lot. And to be doing that with 80 people in a world famous archaeological site sounds like a very Absolutely. Very transformative experience.
And I'm sure we've mentioned this in our introduction, Claire, but if anyone's interested in Marco's projects, they can read about it in his many, many books. I've got a few of them, but he's so generous that he keeps sending me books that he wrote. So there's one about Aristophanes in particular, which I'm sure our listeners will be interested in, which is called Aristophanes Campia in Italian. And the French
Aristophane dans le balier.
So that's the French version of the same book, but enriched with new experiences with working with other participants in France. I just want to thank Marco very, very much for being with us again.
Thank you.
Yeah, Giovanna. Huge thank you from both of us. It was a wonderful conversation.
Thank you, Claire. For me too.